Well, it's good to have Pastor Courtney Lewis. He's a dear friend, and we've become really close over the last couple of years. And then this last year, God put him through a tough time because of with everything that was going on in our nation, and God's called him to Chicago. And so he was in the news a little bit over the last year, and yet God has held him strong and his church strong, and I appreciate his strong love for the Lord, love for God's word. He grew up in Chicago, on the streets of Chicago, and God saved him. I was glad to see Brother Gary here. He was a youth pastor there in Chicago in a church, and kind of cornered Pastor Lewis and mentored him for many, many years, and maybe sometimes still regrets it. You know what I mean? but I'm glad, and I think it's a good testimony and a challenge for all of us when you're trying to work with somebody to stay faithful, stay at it. There's going to be ups and downs, and there's going to be some disappointments. But praise the Lord that there's a church in Chicago, and it's holding forth the light of that glorious gospel. So he's going to come and speak this evening. If you don't have a Bible, try to be near somebody that has a Bible so that you can look at God's word, because he'll be preaching from God's word, and that's why we're here this evening. So hopefully you can be challenged from God's word. So he's going to come and speak at this time.
Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I'll add just a little bit to that introduction. After I got saved and called to preach, I came here to Fairhaven Baptist College and started in the fall of 1996 and graduated in 2000 and stayed around to get my master's degree, get some more education, some more fashioning. And then in 2008, my wife and I, we left Fairhaven, a church that we love. We were sent out from this church to plant Cornerstone Baptist Church in Chicago. And so I always feel at home at Fairhaven, and I'm thankful for this ministry. Romans chapter 10, the title of the message is, Have You Placed Your Call? Have you placed your call? Now, after a meal like that, some of us might need to call a doctor. But that was good food. That was really good food. Those of you that prepared it, thank you so much. That was delicious food. Have you placed your call? Romans chapter 10. And again, as Pastor Dameron mentioned, if you don't have a Bible, do try, if at all possible, to look on with someone that does. Maybe look and see if there's someone near you that doesn't have a Bible. If you could share with them, I'd like them to see the scripture. The Apostle Paul is the stated and undisputed author of the book of Romans. The book was written originally as a letter to a literal church in Rome. And God still uses the book of Romans today. Maybe somebody's handed you a gospel tract at some point in time. The book of Romans, we could say, is a big overgrown gospel tract explaining the way of salvation from start to finish. And God uses this book yet today to urge men and women, boys and girls, to place a call. To place a call. Of course, I'm preaching tonight from the Bible. The Bible is the word of God. It is the word of truth. It is the inspired word of God written to us. And in the Bible, we're presented with God as the creator of the universe. God the Father, the creator of everything, who created man in his own image. And he created us for his own pleasure. And he knows whether or not you have placed your call. And that's the question. Have you placed your call? Romans chapter 10, verse number 13. Romans 10:13. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to draw your attention to the word call in that text. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to imagine for just a second that you're on your way to jail. I thought I was going to be on my way to jail last year. I'm so thankful that it did not happen. But if you were on your way to jail and you were allowed to make only one call, would you use that call? Would you do it? Of course you would. Of course you would. You would call the most important person in your life, whether it be a parent or a spouse, and you would say to them, call a lawyer, call somebody, get me out of here. You would make that call. Well, according to the scripture, we are all born spiritual inmates. And the most important call that we can make is found here. It's the only call that can set a spiritual inmate free. And I ask you, have you placed your call? What a passage of scripture that brings us to a point of decision. You know, all of this talk about God and the Bible and Jesus Christ, this verse brings us to a decision. And it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what I want to preach about. Let's ask the Lord to bless. Heavenly Father, would you speak to our hearts through your word tonight? Oh, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be together with other men. And Lord, to now open your word and preach. Father, I have nothing that I can do in my flesh. But I do pray that you would work and that the gospel could be preached in your power and your strength. Oh, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. Would you bless it? Would you speak to hearts? Would you do what you want to do? And I'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Romans fully sets forth the gospel. Maybe you've heard that word before. The word gospel simply means good news. We could use a little bit of that these days, can't we? The word gospel in particular means the good news of Jesus and what he has done for us. The gospel is summed up in a passage in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 5. I'll just read it. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Listen, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is a reality. He was seen. No doubt about it. And those that hear that old story, and those that believe on that old story, are invited to express that belief by calling on the name of the Lord to be saved. It's a living Savior we're talking about tonight, with a living promise. I love the book of Romans. The book of Romans teaches all kinds of truths that we need to know. But three major great truths. The first great truth is that we are all sinners. Every one of us. It's easy for us to say, well, I'm a good person. The Bible begs to differ. God begs to differ. The Bible says we are all sinners, every single one of us. And I can prove it. Let me first define what a sin is. A sin is to do something that God says not to do. We have all done it. We are all sinners. I'll prove it. Have you ever told a lie? You're a sinner. Have you ever stolen something in your life, whether it be money or candy when you were a kid, or maybe you stole hours from your boss, or you cheated on your taxes? Hey, we are sinners. The Bible says if a man looks on a woman with lust, he's committed adultery in his heart with her. You're going to sit there and say you've never had a wrong thought? We are all sinners. That's the first great truth in the book of Romans. The second one is that even though we are sinners, God loves us. I've been trying to wrap my mind around that for decades. But the Bible says that God loves us, and the book of Romans proclaims the love of God. Third, God has shown his love by the gift of his son. It's a simple message tonight. If you're here tonight, watch me now, and you call upon the name of the Lord, there's a promise here from God Almighty that you'll be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you placed this call? This call. I wonder if anyone here would be familiar with the first words ever spoken over the telephone. Anyone at all? The first words. Steve Jobs wasn't there yet. But the first words spoken over the telephone were by a man by the name of Alexander Graham Bell, the inventor of the telephone. And he made the first phone call on March the 10th, 1876. And he made the call to his assistant, a man by the name of Thomas Watson. Here are the words of the first phone call ever made. "Mr. Watson, come here. I want to see you." Have you placed your call? I've had the exact same phone number for 19 years. I have no idea why. I just never had a reason to change it. And that's my phone number. In my life, I've placed many calls. I have placed many pizza calls. Now, don't look at me funny. I know that I'm not the only one here tonight that's got the pizza man in the phone. Okay? I know I'm not. I've made many calls. I've made calls to the IRS. I don't owe any money to the IRS. It is amazing, though, that when they owe you, it's like you never hear from them. But if you owe them, man, I had an incident one time. Somebody did my taxes for me that shouldn't have done my taxes and messed things up. And all of a sudden, the phone calls start coming and the letters start coming. I've made many calls trying to straighten out that thing years ago. The police. The fire department. There's no call more important than the call of Romans 10:13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." When I came here to Fairhaven Baptist College in 1996, I got the privilege to go with a group to the Pacific Garden Mission. That is a rescue mission near downtown Chicago that ministers to the homeless. And it was a ministry opportunity to go to the Pacific Garden Mission and to be a part of the service there. One of the older college men was going to preach, and we got to go. And you know what I saw when I got to the Pacific Garden Mission? I saw some of the workers standing out in front of the Pacific Garden Mission, shirt and tie, with Bibles in their hands, preaching on the street corner. Street preaching. And God began to work in my heart that God's word should be proclaimed in the open air. And I wanted to get into that a little bit and got to do some of that while I was in college. And now we've continued that at our church. We go out and we street preach. You know what I've learned? Street preaching is not the place for quiet teaching. It's just not. You can't be a laid back Bible talker on the street corner in Chicago and expect someone to stand there for 2 or 3 minutes and listen to you preach. And so I look for a verse when I go out the street preach that will just put the gospel of Jesus Christ in their minds. A sharp, pointed, laser-like verse that will give them something to think about. You see, when you street preach, you can't come up with an outline similar to what I'm going to give tonight. You can't build building block upon building block to develop a point because someone might pass by for just a few moments. And so if they're going to hear anything, it's got to be quick. And so I choose a pointed, laser-like verse, like the verse tonight, a verse that just cuts to the chase. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Have you placed your call? You see, according to the Bible, if you don't place this call before you die, when you die, your soul is going to spend eternity in a fiery, literal, burning hell. That's the record of the Bible. Say, I don't believe it. Doesn't matter if you believe it. Let God be true and every man a liar. The record of the Bible is that there is a real hell. Yet God has given us a special promise, a one-time call, and you can be saved. Now look at the verse again. Look at the text. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to say something very important right now. Very important. Please don't miss this. Everything before and after this verse is showing us that the human author, which was Paul, is writing in a way that assumes that the people he's writing to have heard the gospel. That they understand the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when we say that the Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved, it's not just saying, say a prayer. Stand on a street corner and pray to God and you're automatically saved. That's not the context. The context is someone that has been exposed to the basic claims of the gospel. You've heard them. And then you have a promise that if you believe on them, you can be saved when you call. And so look at the context. Look at verse number 8. It says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So again, it's giving us the gospel. It's giving us the death, burial, and resurrection before we come to the promise of calling. And it does that after the verse 2. Look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And so the setting assumes that the person that's calling has heard about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That they've heard preaching about the person of Christ. That he is the Son of God. That he is God the Son. And that he did something for us to make us have the opportunity to be saved. He died on the cross for our sins. And he arose from the dead on the third day. Once you've heard that, and once you've given that consideration, and when you believe it in your heart, you are a prime candidate to be saved. That's what the Bible's saying here. And so this is a promise to everyone that's been confronted with the basic facts of the gospel. This is to all and for all who have heard about Jesus Christ. Wherever that message is heard, this promise is right along with it. If you've heard the old, old story, you're going to hear it tonight. If you've heard the old, old story, you have a promise from God that if you call upon the name of the Lord, you don't have to burn in hell. Man, that's a good deal. I had some spiritual light as a child through going to church and hearing about the Bible. But I was not saved. But it was the light from learning that put me in a position to where when I was ready, I could call with the understanding of Jesus Christ dying for me. And on April 22nd, 1993, as a 13-year-old teenager sitting in that very balcony, I took this promise at God's word. I called upon the name of the Lord. And that day I was saved. This is a call that you must place. You must place. Three simple points and I'm done. Number one, the person. The person is whosoever. Whosoever. Man, there's a lot of men in here. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I know that after eating the meal that we just ate at a men's barbecue with a bunch of men who have probably worked hard all week at your job, I can't get you interested in that promise if I can't convince you that the promise is for you. And so, to illustrate this, what if I said tonight that I'm going to make you an unbelievable promise? I'm going to make you an astounding promise. I'm going to make you an amazing promise. But the promise is only for the people in the building that are 6 feet tall, 6 inches, 6'6", and weigh at least 275 pounds. The promise is only for you. What have I done? I have just described the physical composite of an NFL player, okay? And that's a wonderful promise that I want to make, but it's not for any of us. I can't interest you with that because it's not for all of us. Or if I said I have another amazing promise. This is an amazing promise. You ready? It is an astounding promise, but it is only for the men in this room that make at least $250,000 a year and have a personal checking account of $85,000. Count me out. But this promise is for everyone. The point I'm making with those illustrations is this. Our belief in any of the promises of God will be in direct proportion to our belief of whether or not that promise is for us. And so if we don't believe the promise is for us, we'll turn our minds off and we won't accept it. We'll fall asleep. We'll do something different. But if we can awaken our minds to the fact that this is a promise, not just for somebody that's 6'6", 275 pounds. If we can awaken our minds to this promise of having an eternity in heaven, it's not just for someone that makes $250,000, 85 in the bank. This promise is for whosoever, to all and to everyone that the gospel comes to. And if you're here tonight, guess what? The gospel has come to you. And so this promise is yours. What are you going to do with it? Some think that only certain people can be saved. I'm glad the Bible doesn't say that. I'm glad the text doesn't say, for if the elect shall call upon the name of the Lord, the elect shall be saved. The Bible doesn't say, if the non-elect shall call upon the name of the Lord, the non-elect shall be saved. It says, whosoever. Some people think they're too bad to be saved. There's no doubt that there's probably someone here tonight that thinks that they're too bad to be saved. They've done something too egregious. Some sin that God could never forgive. Let me give you the good news. Jesus died for sinners. He died for you. Exactly you. And the person is whosoever. Number two, the prayer. Shall call. Shall call. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. To me, the most powerful example of someone in the Bible calling on the name of the Lord and being saved is the thief on the cross. I love the story of the thief on the cross from Luke chapter 23. The Bible account is that there were two thieves, one on either side of Jesus Christ. And they were dying as a punishment for their evil, wicked deeds. They had done wrong, committed capital crimes, and they were both a few hours from sinking into hell. And one of those thieves has a change of heart. And he said to Jesus, Jesus is in the middle. He looks over to Jesus and says, Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. In a few hours, his life is going to be gone. What can this evil man say that will give him forgiveness of sins when he's going to die in a few hours. How does he get forgiveness? A call. He called. He didn't call in a fancy way. He didn't put $10 words together. This thief on the cross had no time for church. He had no time to get down from the cross and go get baptized and get back up and die. He had no time to join a church. He had no time to become a church member. He only had time for one thing, and it's what the Bible says he had to do. He had time to call. And he called upon the name of the Lord. Somehow he saw his spiritual need. And the spiritual need broke into his awareness. And somehow beyond the searing pain of those nails, he was able to see that he was going to die and that something was going to happen after he died. He was going to burn in hell. And he cried out for the name of the Lord. He didn't cry for a weekend in the Bahamas. He didn't cry for a Corvette. He didn't cry for a stimulus check. He called upon the name of the Lord. And I know at this time there are burdens on people's back. The times we're living in. Probably to the point where there's someone in this room that has despaired of life. And maybe you've thought of taking your life and you see no way out. The burdens are too heavy. Listen to me, and you can have those burdens relieved tonight. If you'll call upon the name of the Lord, he will save you. That thief on the cross looked over to the thief that wasn't sorry for his sin. And he said, we indeed justly. He said, we deserve to be here. Prisoners always think that they're innocent, don't they? You go to prison, everybody's innocent. They all have a story, right? And so this thief was different, though. He said, we deserve to be on this cross. But this man in the middle has done nothing wrong. And the call, I love the call. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Just your remembrance of me will be enough for my soul to be saved. Now, I'm not trying to be irreverent, but when he asked to be saved, Jesus' response in layman's terms was right on. He said, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Jesus said, you don't have to wait until I establish my future kingdom. Jesus said, you don't have to wait until I come with power and glory with my angels and I establish a new heaven and a new earth. You don't have to wait. He said to that thief, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And he saved them. And he, go back and read the story, friend. And he blotted out his sin and credited to his account his own righteousness. He had paradise that day when he died. This man didn't have time to cherry pick for the perfect words. He just said, Lord, remember me. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That thief saw his need. He saw his guilt. And he had a savior. If you're here tonight and if you will see your guilt and if you will see your need, I guarantee you on the authority of God's word, you will find a savior. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How dare you not place this call? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became man. He was born of a virgin. And he was crucified and buried, and he rose again from the dead. And he did it to save you. How dare you not place that call? The person, the prayer, and then third, the promise. The promise. The promise is, shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the result of calling. Sinners hear the gospel message. They believe it. They call on the name of the Lord. The promise is good. The Bible doesn't say they might be saved. The Bible doesn't say they could be saved. It says they shall be saved. Is there anyone here tonight spiritually thirsty? I know what that's like, to be spiritual thirsty. And I want to tell you, there's water to be found in the Son of God. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, 1, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. What do I do when I'm thirsty? What do I do? Is that water down here? Pastor Damon told me there was some water down there. Here's the water. When I'm thirsty, is this what I do? Watch me now. The water is clear. The water is cool. The water is wet. The water is there. If I do that, I'm just going to stay thirsty. Now, what's the problem right now? I've drunk no water. I might write a poem about how good this water looks. I might write a song about how good this water looks, and I might even work up the courage to sing it in front of you tonight. And I could stand here all day and talk about how good it looks, and I'll die of thirst because I've not taken a drink, and my mouth will remain dry. On the other hand, I might not know all the properties of water. I might not know how this water is assimilated into my body and becomes a part of my fingernails and how it affects my skin. And I may not be able to put a poem together about it. I may not be able to write a song about it. But if I take that water and put it to my lips, guess what? My thirst is quenched. To call upon the name of the Lord is to drink of the water of the Son of God. And the thirst of your soul will be forever quenched. When I was 13 years old, I opened up the mouth of my soul. And I took a drink of the living water. My friend, as God is my witness, I've never been spiritually thirsty since. The result of calling is you'll have your thirst quenched. Maybe this is the first or second or third time that you've come into a place like this, and maybe somebody invited you to come, and it's maybe one of the first times you've heard serious talk about God, about the Bible, about heaven, about hell, about Jesus. And so you ask, what does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? It means to acknowledge that you are what God says you are, that you are a sinner. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We've done our own thing, but God sent his Son anyway so that we could be saved. Saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pastor Lewis, what does that word saved mean? It means to be rescued from a place of danger and brought into a place of security and comfort and blessing. And oh boy, the book of Romans, if you're saying, man, I'm new to the Bible, where do I start? What do I do? The book of Romans is a good book to read because it takes that word saved and it just amplifies it with different terms. It uses the word justified. When someone is saved, they are justified. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith. That means made right in the court of God's holiness. It's to be made and declared innocent and to have the righteousness of Jesus laid on your sin account. Justified. When you get saved, you get peace with God. Wouldn't you like to have that tonight? peace with God, you get that from Romans. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You get adoption, Romans 8:15. We live in a world of fear today. I walk down the streets of Chicago and I see fear in the eyes of people. But salvation takes away fear because we've not received the spirit of fear, but the spirit of adoption, that is being adopted into God's family the day that you get saved. The dominion of sin is broken when you call upon the name of the Lord. The dominion of sin, the tyranny of sin, Romans 6:18 talks about being free from sin. There's got to be someone here tonight that would say, Pastor Lewis, I'd love to be free from alcohol. It's destroying my life. I'd love to be free from pornography. It's destroying my life. I'd love to be free from some drug addiction. It's destroying my life. Well, listen to me. There is freedom from the tyranny of sin when you call upon the name of the Lord. There is safety. Romans 8:15, who shall separate us from the love of God? And in that passage, it lists, in Romans 8:35, it lists all these different things that can never separate us from God's love when we call upon the name of the Lord. God squeezes so much stuff into those words, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Two Wednesdays ago, after our church's midweek service, we made it home, and my wife and I and my oldest daughter, we were sitting in the dining room, and I heard two gunshots. Pow, pow, ping, ping. And I'm telling you, it sounded like it hit my house. And my neighbors here tonight, I don't know if he heard it or not, but I heard it. And instantly, I hit the floor, my wife hit the floor, my daughter ran upstairs. My wife's about 7 months pregnant and she's crawling on her hands and knees and opens the basement door and starts crawling down the stairs. I crawl behind the island. I mean, it was that close. And about 5 seconds, something clicked in my mind and I started crawling upstairs and I found my friend, my 45. And I opened my bathroom window, which overlooks my driveway, and I was just perched there. I was waiting for anything to move, a dog, cat, anything. It was going to catch it. And 3 minutes later, police officers were in my driveway. And, I mean, that fast. I didn't call. In fact, I found out that nobody called. There were helicopters hovering above. And I learned that there's a special $23 million piece of software. I had no idea. $23 million piece of software that will listen for gunshots in Chicago and will accurately pinpoint where they came from within 80 feet. And those cops were literally there. And I looked it up. It's called ShotSpotter. Chicago police receive real-time alerts of detected gunfire, enabling patrol officers to arrive at a precise location of a shooting event quickly. Instead of relying on the historically low rates of 911 calls, cops can respond more quickly. Man, they were there, and they saw me, and they were asking me questions. They were looking for bullet shells. They were searching and asking me questions. They were there really, really fast. Listen, if you call upon the name of the Lord, he'll save you quicker than that. Have you placed your call? Nothing can save you from a burning hell if you've not made this call. Have you placed your call? Now listen, if you're here tonight and you say, Pastor Lewis, God spoke to my heart. I know that you preach, but God dealt with my heart. And I know that he dealt with my heart. And I know that I need to place my call. I know I need to settle it. I know I need to stop playing games with God, and I need to get this thing taken care of once for all. Listen, there's only one thing left for you to do. I've preached the gospel tonight. There's only one thing left for you to do, and that is to call upon the name of the Lord. And so I've got two simple questions before I finish tonight. Two simple questions. Number one, have you placed this call? Not do you intend to place this call? Have you placed this call? That's my first question. My second question is, if not, why not? Why not? Is it because you've wondered if you placed that call, would anyone be listening? I think I've explained tonight that the answer is yes. Is it because you're wondering tonight if you placed that call, will anyone respond? I think I've answered from the Word of God that yes, there will be a response. Place your call tonight. Look at Romans 10, the last verse in the chapter. Romans chapter 10, verse 21. It says, but to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. God is using the gospel to reach out to a people who are disobedient and gainsaying. That word gainsaying means they speak against God. He's reaching out to a people in this chapter that want nothing to do with God. And he's still reaching out to them. Man, if you'll reach out to them, what will he do for someone like you that's hungry? What will he do for someone like you that's thirsty? What will he do for someone like you that's seeking? I'll tell you what he'll do. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Please bow your heads. Close your eyes.